Thanks, Ivan. Good
Thank you,
morning,
Mark.
everyone. Thank you. Thanks, Ivan. Good morning. Welcome you. Good to be with you. It's wonderful to be have a time together to worship our Lord, and it's just so important. Just wanted to get back to you. We heard on Wednesday night that our president and cabinet have reduced the restriction level to level one, and we've been waiting for the official documentation to come. We've just received it, and we're discussing as an eldership team tomorrow night how we're going to go forward. So I really do ask that you would just pray for us, and that we would hear what our Father wants us to do, and especially the how and the when, how we're going to do this, and when we're going to do this. We really want to be in a place where we're hearing our Father and doing what He wants us to do. Amen. I'd like to pray for us before we hear God's word and we appropriate it in our hearts. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this great opportunity this morning to come under the Word of God. Lord, we realize to understand your will and understand your ways, we've got to be under your Word, because that's where the revealed will of God is through your Word. But Lord, we realize apart from you and you, Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And I ask for the anointing on your Word today, that every one of us will be impacted, that the word will burn in our hearts, and that we would hear what you are saying, Holy Spirit, to the church, and every one of us would take hold of this and make life changes in our lives as we hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. You know, when you're week by week, you got to hear the Spirit of God, what He wants to share with the church. And sometimes I like to preach through a book or through a series, but a lot of the time I like to hear what the Spirit of God has got on His heart. And today, I really just did sense what we're going to be sharing today is what's on God's heart, and I'd like you to hear what the Spirit is saying. I've been reading a book by Wayne Coretto, Jesus Pure and Simple, and I just want to read an excerpt from you to you just to encourage us as a way of introduction to the message today. When you cannot remember the 22 characteristics of a good wife and husband, the nine gifts of the Spirit, and where do you find the Spirit of the Bible? It's time to get back to Jesus. When a speaker insists again that you need to stop your bad habits, increase your devotion, reduce your worry, augment your faith, or banish your fears, it's time to get back to Jesus. When you're overwhelmed by the testimonies of others praying all night, fasting 40 days, raising the dead, and leading thousands to the Lord in their journeys, it's time to come back to Jesus. When you attend another hyped-up conference and the promises of one that will reduce all your problems, you buy all the books and get all the DVDs, you try them out, but nothing is reduced except your savings account, it's time to get back to Jesus. When someone points a finger in your face and says, "Thus saith the Lord," but their advice contradicts someone else that shouted a different, "Thus saith the Lord," and it sounds different from yet another, "Thus saith the Lord," it's time to get back to Jesus. When your email box is flooded with a multiple of letters and newsletters and giving requests for multiple organizations, all these YouTube subscriptions, and everyone that's got something to say, it's time to get back to Jesus. It's time to hear His voice in simplicity. It's time to get back to Jesus, a pure and simple devotion to Him. So the theme of the message today is a pure and simple devotion to Christ. And the text that I use today is from the NLT, an earlier version of the NLT, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. If you can turn in your Bibles to that verse, you might see it a bit differently to what comes out here through the NLT. I read it to you from verse 3. But I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. I read it again. But I fear that somehow you'll be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. So in context to this, and I really want to expound this and open it up to us, the world we live in, I put a question to you, is it pure and simple? I don't think so. Where we live in, there are many things that we get devoted to. And there are many forms of this, and many of us get ensnared, and all of us have been ensnared, and we've got to get to a place of freedom. That's why Jesus came, to set us free. And the devil is very good at this. He comes to complicate our lives. He brings us and takes us away that we can get our eyes off Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want that. He wants us to come back to him. And I read from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus saying to us today, in the time that we face ourselves, come to me, all of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, our Lord understands the world that we face will try and draw us away from him, and he wants us to draw again and take on his yoke and be with him and know him for who he is, his humility, his gentleness, the easiness of his burden as he walks with us and we walk with him. And then in John 14, verse 6, you know, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And the folk out there, and even us today, we are all seeking our way, and we're seeking truth, and we're seeking life. And Jesus comes with the answer, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we've got to get back to him. You know, when we travel to Burundi and into the Great Lakes, they have incredible fruit in that region. The tomatoes, the sun-ripe tomatoes are sweet. The pineapples, they're not acidic. They're so sweet. And I know at the hotel we go to in Bujumbura, they have a wonderful mango juice. And every time we go there, I try and have that at least once because it's freshly squeezed mango juice and it's so refreshing and it's so satisfying. And you walk away from that, that is so good. And I want to just say that is where the Lord wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be under burdens. He doesn't want our lives to be complicated, even though we live in a complicated world. He wants us to be in that place where there's freedom in our lives, that there's understanding of what is pure, what God has created for us to experience. And where we are at the moment with under COVID and all the restrictions, all of us have been in a place to question our lives. And I want to just say it's a time to readjust. You know, so often when you get all these devices today and you've got to program it and all the complications and things go wrong, there's a reset button. And when you do a reset button, it clears all the nonsense and all the stuff that was set in there incorrectly, and it gets back to ground zero and you can start to reprogram. And I really do believe that's where the Lord wants us to be at this point in time. There's something of living here on earth and representing him, but there's something of coming back to a fullness of knowing him as our Lord and him living in us. You know, where we see the value in him and not in the value of the stuff that we have. We see the value of relationship and friendships, and out of that to live life to the full. You know, and the Lord promised us that he would give us an abundant life. And the abundant life is not in stuff and it's not in things. It's in him and in the people that he's given us to love and to nurture and to cherish. And that's what I really do want to encourage you with today. So this measuring stick that the Lord's given us in 2 Corinthians 11, I want to encourage you, please memorize this, because when we memorize scripture, there's something that the Holy Spirit can take that and bring us back to those words again. And you can hear those words and you can start to evaluate your lives on a regular basis, not just here today, but as you live life and you live life to the full. Let's get back to a pure and simple devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So I want to go through 3 points today, just to open up the scripture to us. And I want to deal firstly with rest, and secondly, deceived by the serpent, the devil, and number three, dealing with simplicity, the simplicity of our devotion to the Lord. So firstly, rest. I think in the world that we live today, we don't understand what the Lord acquired in rest. I do believe we learn to rest and be quiet, and we need to take times of break. But this rest where the Lord actually works through us and we rest in him, I think we're all learning to discover that. And we need to know what is that rest and how to find that rest. And I want to just say the good news is that God created us to live in his rest. He didn't bring us to a place to rest from our labors. He brought us to a place that we rest in his rest in our labors. So work is part of life. And God created us to work. And we've got to find balance in that. But there's a rest that we rest in the Lord, that he enables us. He gives us the ability to do the things that he's called us to do. You see, what I want to bring us also back to is that we got to find a place that where it's all about Him, that we don't get caught up in the activities of life. You know, especially us who love the Lord and serve the Lord, is that sometimes, can I say to you, even myself, church activities and the doing them, those are good. We need to be doing those things that aren't working. But sometimes they become the be-all and end-all in our lives. And we got to find rest in those things, in what we are doing. God calls us first to Him, and we need to find that. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." So I want you to evaluate that as you devoted to Christ. Are you walking in the Sabbath day rest that God has given us? You know, when you look at a mother with a young child, and how a young child runs to his mother and in the mother's arms, and it finds its place there, it's secure. It knows its mother's love, and it's not worried about its surroundings. And you know, when someone would try and come and take a child away from a mother, and the child will push away and say no, that's where we need to be. We need to be secure in our love with the Lord, and we need to be in that place close to Him. You see, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you will sense the purpose of your life and the design that God has for your life. You see, God never created us to walk alone. He never created us to do this alone. He comes to live inside of us, and as He walks in us and we walk in Him, we find the purpose of life. You see, we were far away from the Lord, and He came and He found us and He brought us to Him, and He wants us to continue that way. You know, in the book of Galatians, it tells us that the Galatians were set free as they came to find Christ, but they found another way. And Paul had to rebuke them and say, "You have not found freedom. You've been snared again." And they had to be set free again to find Christ. And I question you, and I question myself, have you been ensnared again to the systems of the world? Have you been snared to religious activity? Have you been snared that Jesus is not the first and foremost in your life anymore? I want to encourage us. We need to get closer, because that's God's design for us, to walk in Christ. Then in John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." I want you to hear that again. "But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life." See, the Lord wants us to have life. Now, God has blessed us with Christian leaders. And even in the time of Israel at that time, Gamaliel was a man that many listened to and could hear the understanding of the word. And I want to just say, there are good Christian books out there, and there are good things there, and there's a lot of stuff on the internet. But the word says here, the Lord said, "Did not come to me that you might have life." And I want to bring you back, read Christian books, but don't let that be the first and foremost. Let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to Him. Let's get to let Him speak in our heart. Let us get to know Him again. You see, so often, you know, we all driven, including myself, and we like our to-do lists, and we like to get things done, and we measure our lives by the things that we do. That's not what God measures us by. He measures of who we are in Him. You see, so often we get so distracted, and we've got to ensure that we eliminate the distractions from our lives and get back to Jesus. So first point, let us rest in the Lord. Second point, that scripture says, deceived by the serpent, the devil. Now, I want to say to you, in your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord is under attack. You need to know that the devil does not like and does not love the Lord, and he does not love you, and he's trying to destroy it. And as the scripture says there in 2 Corinthians, it says that even Eve was deceived to rob her and Adam of the relationship and the fellowship with God. The devil is doing that even today. He is using everything in his power to lead you and me out of a relationship and an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible 91 times that he's an adversary and he's a tempter, and he's very busy, and he knows his work, and he knows what to do. And we just see so often, and I'm saddened many times, how many Christians get deceived by the enemy and are led astray away from Jesus and into things that are other than the pure and unadulterated gospel of loving Christ. So in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, and Peter here says, yeah, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he devour. He's on the prowl. The enemy's on the prowl. But you remember, we have authority and we can resist. The scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, in our midst, like Ivan and these guys, they're really good fishermen, and they fly fishermen. And the art of fly fishing is to create a lure. And the lure is going to be according to the circumstances that you find yourself, and it's the time of day that you've got to put the lure on, and then you've got to do the fly fishing to catch the fish. Now, the devil's very clever. He does exactly the same. What does he do? He creates a lure that can entice you and I off our pure devotion to Christ. So the devil realizes that, and he doesn't have to get you to a place where he robs you, but he leads you and distracts you one degree, of course. Now, I'm not a fly fisherman, but I've actually heard is that when you're fishing in a river and the main current is there, normally the fish are not hanging in the main current. They're just off a bit. And when the lure comes, you've got to throw the lure just off the main current, and then the fish bite. And that's the same thing when we're not so steadfast in our relationship with the Lord. The devil just puts that little temptation one degree of course off the main current, and that comes through and leads us astray. Now, the Bible warns us, in the last days many will fall away. And the devil's trying to do that even now. And I want to protect you from that. And I don't want you to fall from your pure devotion to Christ. So what is the lure? Number one, it's a complicated devotion where we have a monastic lifestyle, where we try and isolate and we try and do things in the flesh, and we don't live in the spirit. That's not God's call. Where we find that life is empty, a funless life, where we just become downcast and we're sullen and we've got frowns on our faces all the time. That's not the life that God's called us to follow him and to know him. And then we follow also a bunch of rules and regulations. And there's much out there, the cults, even so-called religion, and people are led astray to rules and regulations, but they're not led to life, an abundant life in Christ. So that's one of the lures. The next one is confusion, where many people do not know the word of God. They do not know the leading of the Holy Spirit. They do not submit to the church, to the brothers and sisters in Christ. They do their own thing. And that's where that confusion comes, and the devil leads them astray. So some of those things are, people get their self-worth through their money, their net worth. And I want to just say to you, you cannot serve God and mammon. That's money. And even in this time now where things are tight, please don't serve money, but serve our God. He's the one that provides, and he will provide for you. He provides for the birds of the air. How much more will he provide for you? And then spiritual vitality is confused with spiritual activity and our doings of so-called things for God. No, no, no. We've got to have that intimate personal relationship with the Lord. And then a lot of us, and including myself at times, we get so caught up in thinking our maturity is what we do. That is not maturity. We need to be growing in our intimacy and our relationship with God. You see, our measuring stick needs to be right. It's not about our doing. It's about who we are in Christ, our being. And I really do want to encourage you that Christ lives in you. The hope of glory is inside of you and who you are in Christ. We don't measure by the world, and we don't measure by ourselves. We don't measure by our own thoughts. We measure by who Christ is in us. Again, I remind us, do not be led astray as Satan deceived Eve. Let's remain in our pure and simple devotion to Christ. Do not get caught up in the side currents where the devil will try and lead you astray. Don't compromise your simplicity and your purity in following the Lord Jesus. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Now, you've got to work that one out. Are you going to stop that? If the evil one has led you astray, will you come back to Jesus? We need to get back to the real thing, a pure and simple closeness with Jesus. Let's not be deceived. You know, when we walk on this earth, people measure us. And I'd like people to measure all of us. When they see that person, they see you and I, they measure us. They realize who is that person hanging out with. And they need to be saying, that person hangs out with Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to be religious or to be freakish or contrary to think, but to be supernaturally natural, to be authentic in your relationship with God and authentic in your relationship with Jesus. And you know what? That is so contagious. People want that. And when people see that, that is life, and that's life abundant. So thirdly, I want to deal with the simplicity of what it is to have a devotion to Christ. So simplicity from the Greek word actually means not self-seeking. And we all have that problem of selfishness, of not putting ourselves first. We've got to learn that one, and that's to be humble and to be in a place to say, Lord, you be first. Then it also means openness of heart manifesting itself by generosity, an openness and an unfolded life. Now, the example of that, what does openness and an unfolded life actually mean? It's like a carpet salesman. This goes to the Middle East, where we have many carpets that are made in that, and they're known for their carpets, the Persian rugs, and some of us have got some of those as important pieces of furniture in our homes. But what is a carpet salesman? What they can do, they can hang the rug up, and you can examine the rug. That's called an unfolded rug, and you can see all the good and the bad in it. Or that can be a folded rug, and you can look at it and you could buy it. Now, this openness is an unfolded rug where everything can be seen. And that's how the Lord wants us to be with him. He doesn't want us to be closed in our hearts towards him. And I think that came through Amanda's word today, that our hearts need to be open to the Lord. And I want to just say, when you open up your heart to the Lord, it's such a liberating thing. Honestly, it's so liberating. Can I just say this openness before God, where you can be absolutely honest with him? You know, we all have issues in our lives and we have to be talking, but why don't you talk to God in that place of openness and let him speak to you, and may he be open and honest with you about your life? You know, when your life gets to a place where you have an intimate relationship with God, it's not just on a one level, it goes deeper, that God can actually speak into your life, because you can speak about your circumstances. And I want to just say, from my life, as I've worked hard on my relationship with the Lord, is that when those times come and I get to a place where I can really be open with the Lord and I can share my heart, I can share my emotions with the Lord. You know, I also have bad days, and I've also got to deal with things. Maybe I shouldn't be saying what I'm going to say now. You know, leading God's people is not the easiest thing in the earth. Dealing with your complications and bringing you through that you can follow the Lord and to love you and to bring you through. Sometimes I battle with that, and I've got to hear the Lord, and I've got to honestly not go and complain before the Lord. I've got to just share my heart before him, and he guides me and directs me and brings me through that. And I'm telling you, I just praise God that we don't serve someone that's cold, but someone who loves us and actually understands us. And when I open up my heart and I'm pure and honest before him and open before him, it is so liberating. And I want to say that is what the simplicity is. You know, this thing of simplicity is like childlike. And I just loved what Lynn said yesterday morning in the morning encouragement about Joshua. And she spoke about the love. And as Joshua was driving past the guard at the security and said, that Joshua said, I love that man. And Lynn said, whoa, how can I do that? And then the Lord said to her, no, you can do that. And I want to say that simplicity of our relationship needs to be childlike before the Lord. Now, we can learn all the secrets and we can learn the methodology how to do these things. But let's be childlike again in our simplicity before the Lord. You know, don't be complicated. You know, when children, they get taught to become complicated. Let's undo some of that complication and let's find that freedom again of the simple and pure relationship and devotion to the Lord. You see, in that, we've got to be a place of, we've got to deal firstly, if you want to have an open, honest devotion to Christ, you've got to deal with pride. And pride is a big problem. in all our lives. The Bible talks about it as being conceit that can actually destroy this devotion to Christ. It's, you know, pride is the root of rebellion, and we all battle with that. And I want to encourage you is that if you're battling to be open and honest with God, maybe your problem, maybe the issue that you're dealing with is your self-pride. And you know, the devil was kicked out of heaven because of pride. Deal with that. You're the only one that can deal with it. And how do you do that? You humble yourself before the Lord, and you humble yourself before others, and you become teachable. Otherwise, I'm telling you, people skirt around you and don't want to be near you. And actually, I think even God in his things, he says, I've got to fold my hands. I can't do anything when pride is the issue. So I really want to encourage you. Let's have a simple and pure devotion to the Lord. So I just remind you the 3 points that we dealt with. We dealt with rest. We dealt with deceived by the serpent, the devil, and the simplicity of our devotion to the Lord. So my heart to you today in conclusion is, let's get back to Jesus. I know we'll deal a lot more with this and how we can look at aspects in our lives, but let's today get back to Jesus. Let him be the first and foremost in our lives. From that day when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've got a complicated relationship with him at the moment. Let's get back to the simplicity of an open, honest relationship and devotion to him. And let's get back to a place where Jesus is first and foremost in our lives. And I want to tell you, then you'll find this place of where you've been ensnared and been complicated, maybe a religious following of Christ. That thing will be broken, and you'll find the joy of serving the Lord. You know, my heart, I love you and I love the Lord. But let me tell you is that as much as God has called me in this role to serve you and to lead you as his church with the eldership team and to bring you through and to bring you to a place of maturity, key to my life is a pure and simple relationship with the Lord. I find I have to run quickly to him and have to have regular times with him that I can know what it is to be like childlike before him again, that Father God is truly Father to me, and I can be in a safe place. And I encourage every one of you, as we face the difficulties of the world that we live in, and it's not going to get easier, there are difficult times ahead of us, but we can live in this safe place. We can live in this place of rest, and we can live in this place of abundant life when we follow the Lord. So I encourage you today, let's find this place of a pure and simple devotion to Christ. Seek for it, folk. Don't step back and don't just hear this message. Seek for it with all your heart and lay down the things. Go before the Lord, go before the Holy Spirit and say, help me to do this. Because let me tell you, this is a fountain of life. It's abundant life. It's because Jesus says, come to me and you'll find life. And that's where God wants us to be. And I encourage you with that today. So let's uncomplicate our lives. Let's get back to a simple and pure devotion to Christ. Let us pray. Father, you have spoken so clearly into our hearts today. Lord, we're all guilty. We all have a measure of self, and we have a measure of being deceived, and we're not always open to you. But Lord, you called us to yourself, and you bring us to this place of simple devotion and a pure devotion to you. And I pray this reality over every one of us here today. I pray that as we go on our way after this time together today, that we would evaluate our lives, and that as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, the reality would grow, and we would grow into the maturity of this, a simple and pure devotion to you. So Lord, here we are. We bring ourselves before you as a living sacrifice. Will you take us and will you lead us? We trust you and allow you to be Lord over our lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. May the Spirit speak to you today, and may he warm your hearts and bring freedom to every one of you. Wherever you are, may the blessing of God rest upon you. Thank you, Ivan.